Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise that it is your purpose to unveil yourself to us as Yahweh Elohe and Yahweh Elohinu, Father. The Lord my God and the Lord who is our God. And as we complete this series, O God, on unveiling your name, we thank you for the awesome revelation of yourself that you have opened to our hearts, Lord. And we know, Lord, that you have begun a work in us that will unveil throughout eternity, Father. For each one of your names, O God, is a priceless treasure, Father. Each one of your names is infinite in scope, Lord. Each one of your names is a mystery awaiting revelation in our hearts, on a personal plane, and amongst us as the body of Christ across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. All that is going to be manifested in the body of Christ is going to be of you, Father. It is going to be of your stature. It is going to be of your glory and your greatness, for you are the Almighty and Most High God, the owner and possessor of the universe, Lord. You are supreme. There is none like you, Father. As the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, you are our God. As the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, you have unveiled yourself to us in your precious Son. And we thank you for the treasure of Jesus Christ being unveiled in us so that we can discern all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can discern and realize all things that are of you through the fullness of your Son. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit, to make us come alive to the Lord our God, so that we will come to know you and to love you and to belong to you, so that we will come to serve you, and so that we will come to live for you, Lord, because you are the life. And we are a peculiar people who are called to be the bride of the Lamb. And this reality of the bride of the Lamb is so that we will have the glory of our God manifested in us and amongst us. And in this reality, O God, you are both Yahweh Elohe, the Lord my God, in a personal sense, and you are Yahweh Elohinu, the Lord our God, in a collective sense, Lord. You are Yahweh Elohinu to the body of Christ. You are Yahweh Elohe to each one of us, Lord. And as Yahweh Elohe, O God, you are a God who wants to reveal himself uniquely to each one of us personally, Lord. As Yahweh Elohinu, O Lord, we see you, O God, in the glory of the collective. As we come together in a unity as the body of Christ. It is in that unity, O God, that we will come to see the glory of the Lord our God. As we see the wonder of your work, your personal work in each one of our lives. As we unveil the collective of that work, Lord, it's going to be an awesome testament of the glory of your grace. For what you have proposed to undertake with the sons of men in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit is a work worthy only of your name, Father. Indeed, your word says, O God, that we are each your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works you have ordained in our lives. What those good works are meant to be a journey of discovery, an adventure, O God, in your heart, Lord, unveil to us by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. As we grow in you, Lord, there's so much to look forward to. So much, O God, that it will fill our lives from eternity to eternity. We want to bless you and thank you for that reality. We want to bless you and thank you, O God, that in your name we live forevermore. In your name and by your name, O God, we are a blessed people. In your name and by your name, O God, there is an awesome inheritance and a possession that you have given us, Lord. We thank you that that inheritance and that possession is an intimacy that you have given to each one of us uniquely. For we are not clones of each other, Lord. We are each fearfully and wonderfully made. And as we discover your name, we will begin to appreciate how you have created us and how you have predestined us to be a blessing to the universe, O God, that you have created. You have called us forth as sons of God. We thank you for that privilege. It's a privilege given to us not because we deserve to be called sons of God. It's a privilege given to us in and by and through the merits of the Lamb. And as we prepare, O God, to be a bride for the Lamb, we thank you for your great love. It is hard to comprehend your love, Father. But as we grow in you, as we realize of the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit in our inward parts, it is an awesome treasure, O God, that you have for us, Lord. A treasure, O God, described in the spirit and life of Jesus. A treasure, O God, described, O God, in the faith and love of Jesus. A treasure, O God, described, O God, in the witness and testimony of Jesus. A treasure, O God, that you mean to mold and shape into us in the nature and character of Jesus, so that we will be perfect even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Now these are things, Lord, that are your work in our lives. We thank you that your word speaks of so many awesome things that are so far beyond our capabilities, that they are open to us only by grace. They're open to us only in the glory of your grace. Our minds can't comprehend of Christ revealed in us, the hope of glory. We bless you, Father, for all that you have revealed to us in this series, O God, that is called Unveiling the Name of God. And we bless you, Father, for the multifaceted revelations that you have opened to us, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will work those revelations into us in the fullness of Jesus Christ, so that these revelations will be developed in each one of us uniquely, so that we will celebrate the glory of your grace in a unity that is of the Spirit, Lord, in a unity that is birthed of your great love that we have come to receive and realize and know and express, Father. We thank you for the blessing you have become in our lives. We thank you for the treasure of Jesus that is being revealed in our hearts. We thank you for the painstaking and holy ministry of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for loving us, O God. We thank you for working in us in spite of our sinfulness, Lord. In spite of our many failings, O God, you are a faithful God, Lord. And we want to thank you for what you have achieved in our lives. The glory is thine, Almighty God. The glory is thine alone, and we are grateful, Father. We are grateful for the blood of the Lamb. We are grateful for the name of Jesus. We are grateful for the work of the Holy Spirit. We are grateful that we can call you, Father, Abba, Father. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God. We bless you and thank you, O Lord, for what you are about to give us in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have done, I think, more than 40 tapes on the name of God. And all of those 40 tapes, we realize that the name of God is meant to be a personal revelation to the human being. That is what it means to come alive to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That it is the purpose of God to reveal within the tabernacle of your being the reality of who He is and all that He is. That although God addresses himself as Yahweh Elohim, the eternal creator, he is in your life the creator who is unveiling you as his special creation. Although God sees himself as the Most High God, Yahweh Elyon, yet he is your God. And even though he is the Most High God, he is your God, and he wants you to be able to see him as the Most High God. And as God reveals himself to you as the Most High God, he will continue to build you spiritually so that you will be able to see more and more of him. So the revelation of God is a growing revelation. It is not a static revelation. It is not a theology. It is something that is dynamic. It is something that grows. And that growth is entirely manifested in the spirit and life of Jesus. Today we are going to do two names of God. One is in a personal sense. And that name of God is called Yahweh Elohe. I am the Lord. No. Yahweh Elohe, the Lord who is my God. And Yahweh Elohinu, the Lord who is our God. Yahweh Elohinu is the name of God that is meant to be manifested to us collectively as the body of Christ. The nations will not know God as our God. I'm talking here about God being revealed in a personal sense, all right? And the Lord who is our God is a reality that comes out of the fact that he has first become the Lord your God. You are in your heart convinced that he is my God. There is that reality of God being my God. Yahweh Elohe. Alright? Yahweh Elohe. So we will start with talking about the name Yahweh Elohe, the Lord who is my God. And then we will talk about Yahweh Eloheinu in the context of us all being members of the body of Christ. And each one of us having a personal revelation of God. And when it's manifested from each one of us, it unveils a brilliance of God that is called the Lord who is our God. An appreciation of God out of each one of our lives as the body of Christ. And one day we will stand in heavenly places and the radiance of the glory of the Lord who is my God will shine out of us in a peculiar light. And the glory of God will be seen amongst us. So if you turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. You will find that the bride of the Lamb unveils a very peculiar revelation of God. Let's read from verse 9. Revelation 21 from verse 9. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of God from out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Having the glory of God. Now, the fact of the bride having the glory of God is in two dimensions. One is a personal reality of the glory of God within each one of us. And that's the revelation of Yahweh Elohe, the Lord who is my God. And then there is the glory of God that is manifested amongst us collectively. And that is the reality of Yahweh Eloheinu, the Lord who is our God, having the glory of our God. Do you understand? Yeah? So the glory of God opens to us on a personal level, and the glory of God opens to us on a collective level. On a collective level, we see the greater glory of God. We see the glory of God manifested in each one of us uniquely and differently, because we will all come to love God in a unique sense. Our relationship with God from each one of our hearts will be a unique realization. Are you with me? So this reality of having the glory of God, where does it come from? It comes out of John chapter 17, verse 22. So this prayer Jesus makes as he goes to the cross, and he says, "Father, the glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them." Right? "And that glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them." So it is through the revelation of Jesus Christ that this glory is made manifest in each one of us. And we go into the next module about moving into ministry. You must always understand that the ministry comes out of this glory that God wants to develop in you. It already is there in you in some measure. But it has to be developed. And your ministry flows out of this glory of Jesus Christ that has been manifested within you by the Holy Spirit. So when you are born again, God planted the seed of Christ within you. And Paul writes, "Christ in me, the hope of glory." Right? "Christ in me, the hope of glory." That is the reality of the personal. But we must always understand that we are not just personal beings in the body of Christ. We are part of a communion of the saints. We are part of a communion that stretches into the heavenly places. We are living tabernacles of the Most High God. And the glory of God is meant to be developed in each one of us according to how we have all come to know God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And so God is bringing forth the glory of His wonder through each one of us uniquely. And our ultimate purpose is to hallow the name of God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right? You can only hallow a God whom you know. A God who is your God. And you can only hallow God in the context of our Father. Not just my Father. There's no doubt that God is your Father. But God has to be understood as our Father. Because if we don't understand the greater context, we will just become self-seeking prima donnas. So we must always understand the revelation of God as our, right? So ultimately, God wants to be Yahweh Eloheinu, right? So let's turn to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 5. Zechariah, the second last book of the Old Testament. Just before the book of Malachi. Zechariah chapter 14. Verse 5. And you will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord, Yahweh, my God, will come and all the holy ones with him. The Lord, my God, is the reality of Yahweh Elohe. So the Lord, my God, is not just a declaration that God is my God. It is actually a title of God's name. Yahweh Elohe. Obviously, this is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Right? This is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And you see here, that God, through the prophet Zechariah, talks about Jesus Christ as being Yahweh himself. Yahweh, my God. The Lord, my God. Yahweh, my God. Yahweh, Elohe. The personal reality of God. The Lord who is my God. And in this statement, God clearly refers to the person of Jesus Christ, God's Messiah. And he is going to be the revelation of the name of God to us. All right, let's cross-reference to understand all this. Let's turn back to John chapter 17. The prayer that Jesus Christ made even as he goes to the cross. John chapter 17, verse 6, Jesus says, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. What does he say? I manifested thy name. So what is so special about the name Jesus? The name Jesus is the revelation of the name Yahweh. The name Jesus is the revelation of who God is and all that God is. All right? Who God is and all that God is. So Jesus Christ goes to the cross. And why is he going to the cross? Yes, he's going to the cross to save us. But more important than even saving us, he's going to the cross to manifest the name of God. What is it that he is manifesting of the name of God on the cross? He's manifesting the glory of God. You know, Moses in Exodus chapter 33 asked God, I want to see your glory. And God tells him, you can't see my glory. Because if you see my glory, you will die. And then in Exodus chapter 34, God tells Moses, I will hide you and you can experience my glory. And God describes then himself, the basis of his glory. And he says, I am compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, truth, and forgiveness. Who will judge his enemies from generation to generation? He declares his nature as being compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, truth, and forgiveness. And you see that nature on the cross. So Jesus Christ is going to demonstrate the reality and the basis on which God wants us to understand why he needs to be our God. And the reason why God needs to be our God is because he carries a nature that you and I don't possess. It is on the basis of that nature and that character of God that Jesus demonstrates on the cross that you and I have something called salvation. That's why God can change our lives. That's why God can undertake the task of changing people like us and telling us in the book of Matthew that you can be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Telling us in the fulfillment of the law, you can come to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And these are incomprehensible realities to us because we do not have such a nature. But on the cross, Jesus Christ not only reveals the nature of God, he also reveals the nature of a man who is able to love God even through the cross. And you see that in the cross, Jesus Christ reveals the reality of God being my God. And the nature of his God that he carries, he demonstrates. And that nature of God that he demonstrates is the basis of our salvation. That's why we can be saved. We can be saved because the Holy Spirit is able to take that nature that Jesus demonstrated and is able to work it into our lives so that we can become a new people. So that we can become a new creation. So that we can have thoughts that we don't have a nature that we don't have, realize a character that we don't have, do things that we would never be able to do. So today we pray like we never did before. So today we have a reality of God in our hearts like we never had before. Something has been opened inside of us. What has been opened inside of us? The seed of Christ has been opened inside of us. What is the seed of Christ a revelation of? It's a revelation of who God is and all that God is. Something of God has been opened inside of us and we have been born again. And the process of salvation has been opened to our lives. And in that process of opening salvation to us, God has undertaken the reality of becoming your God, my God, the personal God, the God who saves me. And through that process of saving me from all of the crookedness of my nature, all of the pride and the arrogance and all of the lust and the greed, and all of the selfishness and the self-centeredness, all of the bitterness and the anger and the unforgiveness. In that whole process of working through all of that darkness that is within us, God is showing us that he is my God. So as God saves you, you will come to know a peculiar revelation of him that is peculiar to your life. That is what Yahweh Elohe is all about. And if we look at each one of us here, we have all come to know God in a personal sense. And it's so crucial for us to understand that that is at the heart of the revelation of God to our lives. It is at the heart of everything that God has for us. It is the basis of all that God calls eternal life. Because it is the quality of life that you and I are going to live in eternity is going to be dependent on this reality of the God who has changed us, has transformed us, has forgiven us countless times, right? What we think are the occasions God has forgiven us are just the superficial. But God has forgiven us countless number of times, even in a particular day. And in forgiving us and causing us to be transformed and changed, God is undertaken in each one of us a labor of love. And that labor of love is a powerful labor of love. Which is why you and I have a genuine love for God. It may not be a great love yet, but there is a genuine love for God in our hearts. That genuine love for God in our hearts came out of the heart of Jesus Christ. That genuine love for God that is in our hearts has changed our lives. And as that love grows, we will change. And if you can understand that this is the basis of Christian growth, everything is possible. All you have to do is fall in love with God and you will change. That's why the Bible says God is love. That's why God said, my law is based on this, and you shall love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. By declaring that law, God is also telling you that it is possible to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And suddenly you realize that your potential as a human being is tremendous because you have this capacity, God-given capacity to love God. You have this God-given capacity to know God. You have this God-given capacity to live and do all things in and by and through God all of the time, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. Now suddenly you can understand, I can live forever. I have a heritage that is mine forever. It has been given to me from the heart of my Father. It has been given to me in the merits of the Lamb. It is being worked into me by the Holy Spirit. It is entirely the work of God. It's being manifested in my own heart. It is being brought alive in my own being. It is going to be demonstrated through my life in all eternity. It's going to be manifested in a light of glory that is going to be unveiled from my state of being. Having the glory of God. Awesome. Can you imagine that God wants to demonstrate His glory through you and me? Where did He take us from? From which junkyard? Or from which drain? And He has taken us, filthy vessels, in our sinfulness, and He means to demonstrate His glory in us. That's an awesome undertaking, isn't it? Only God can do that. It's an awesome undertaking to change us, to transform us, to enable us to see in a new light, to enable us to understand things in an eternal perspective. Amen. So Yahweh Elohe, the Lord God who is my God. So if you go to John 17 again, verse 26, Jesus says this as He finishes His prayer. Because the next day He's going to be crucified, or in a few hours' time He's going to be crucified. And He says, I have made Thy name known to them and will make it known. So the revelation of the name of God is a continuous revelation. Jesus says, I have made Thy name known and I will make it known, because it is going to be an ongoing process in the hearts of individuals. That the love wherewith Thou didst love me may be in them and I in them. Praise the Lord. I in them. That is the basis of Yahweh Elohe. Praise the Lord. Isn't it awesome? That God revealed in you is a reality of love, not a reality of being frightened or a reality of a religious idea. It's not based on what you can do for God. It is based on what you can realize of God or from God. What you can realize as God doing with you. And how is God going to do it in you? He's going to do it by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus within you. Awesome. Wonderful. That's why when Isaiah announces the birth of Jesus Christ, he says that He is wonderful. He is the Counselor. He is the mighty God, He is the eternal Father, and He is the Prince of Peace. Shalom is the reality of God's glory being manifested within us. Peace. The peace that passeth all understanding. While we live in a world where everything is going upside down, inside of us we have a peace that is unshakable. All of us have it. All of us have it. We don't appreciate it, but we have it. But that peace tells us that God's in charge of our lives. That peace is covenant. That peace is God's assurance in your heart that He is your God, that He is there, that He's got His hand on your life, that you may not understand what is happening with your life, but He is in charge. He's working in you an eternal purpose. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this reality of I in them is what we are called to develop. Because this reality of I in them is going to be the basis on which God will reveal Himself as Yahweh Elohe. And you must understand that your chief task as a Christian is to know the God who is your God. To know Him with all of your heart, soul, mind and strength. Because everything in your life will flow from that. Today we see so many things going wrong in Christian ministry, in every part of the church. And the fundamental reason is this, because we have not built Christianity on the knowledge of God, we have built Christianity on a whole bunch of other things. We think we can do ministry by just operating giftings and anointings. Lucifer had giftings and anointings, and he fell. And he fell from the Holy of Holies. Lesson to be learned. The gifting and the anointing will never make you a man of God. It is the knowledge of God. It is the reality of loving Him. It's the reality of being able to commune with Him. If the anointing does not speak to you and function in you, in the name of Jesus, that anointing is of no value, because you will lose it anyway, or you will misuse it anyway. If the gifting does not testify of Jesus operating through you by the Spirit, the gifting in itself will be useless. And so we see people who are very gifted falling in ministry. We see people who are very anointed falling in ministry. Lucifer, who was called the anointed cherub, fell from the Holy of Holies. He was called God's covering cherub. And from that high position, he fell. Why did he fall? Not because he was not anointed, not because he was not gifted. He fell for one simple reason. He did not love God. And because he did not love God, he fell. And that's why we have taken the time to open the name of God in this series before we talk about ministry. Because there is no purpose to ministry if you're not willing to understand that you are a vessel of God. That the whole purpose of ministry is so that you can function as a vessel of God. So that you can discover how to function as a vessel of God. Not just operate in anointing and impress people. That's not the purpose of ministry. It is to unveil God through what you say and what you do. That when the miracle is done, people will see God and not see you. When the great message is preached, people will be open to God and not to you. When a prayer is made and something is answered, people will understand it is God who has done something. But you can only communicate such a reality if in your own heart, God is so precious to you. Otherwise, you will not communicate it. So it's so important for you to understand that the Lord your God is Yahweh Elohim. And that's a very personal treasure of God. It's probably the most important aspect of this reality of knowing God. Having the glory of God. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, verse 28, God reveals to us how He means to be the Lord our God. Ezekiel, chapter 44, verse 28. The last 8 chapters of Ezekiel are a messianic vision. And that messianic vision which Ezekiel saw probably about 550, 580 years before Jesus Christ came into the earth, is a vision of Jesus in a temple. And the vision of Jesus, and He is addressed as being Yahweh. And in verse 28 of chapter 44, it says, "And it shall be with regards to an inheritance for them that I am their inheritance. And you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession." So through Jesus Christ, God comes to us in a very peculiar way, as our inheritance and as our possession. Can you imagine Jesus Christ being your inheritance and your possession? But that inheritance and that possession is only possible if you realize His love, if you realize His saving grace, if you come to appreciate what He has done in your life. That's why when we celebrate Holy Communion, Jesus says, "Remember me." And that remembrance is meant to enkindle in you this reality of understanding that He has loved you. It is meant to bring into you the understanding that when you do this, when you see the power of God flow through you, that it is because He has paid a price for that. That you are standing in high office in the church because He has paid a price for that office. That you are standing as an apostle or a prophet or a teacher or a pastor or a believer or as a saint, you are standing only because He paid a price for you. Not because you are in yourself inherently good. Nobody is inherently good. Only God is good. So you see, this reality of I am their inheritance and I am their possession is a reality that only comes as you come to love God. That's why Bethlehem is a house of bread. And Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. So the spiritual reality of Jesus being alive in us is in a house of bread. you and I are all houses of bread. How the bread has been eaten and what has been realized from the bread that has been eaten is different in each one of our lives. We are not the same house. But we are all a house of bread that God has given us, that God has fashioned and formed us to be. Praise the Lord. So you are called to have the glory of God. And the glory of God is going to be developed in your life as you learn how to minister that love to others. Which is why moving into ministry is an important part of Christian growth. What God puts inside of you must go out and touch somebody's life. Because that love that God has put inside of you must be perfected in how you demonstrate that love into somebody else's life. Because that's the only way that the glory of God's grace can be perfected and completed into you. So God gives you something, it has to be tested in your life. It has to be put into somebody else's life. You have to demonstrate what you have received freely from God, and you must be able to give it freely into somebody else's life. It is part of the whole process in which God teaches you how much He loves you. If you never learn how to give, then you will never understand how He gave it to you. How difficult it was to give it to you. It's only when you try and minister to a non-Christian and try to tell him the love of God, and you realize that people don't want to listen to the love of God. And then you realize, I used to be like that. I was not interested in listening to the love of God. But God broke through all of my hardness of heart, and He opened my heart to see. Until you minister to someone, you will never appreciate what God went through to open your heart. It is only when you start sitting down and fasting and praying for your friend's salvation or for your brother and your sister's salvation, and you realize, my goodness, it's not an easy thing, that you begin to appreciate what God undertook to do in your life and my life. Then you will appreciate how awesome it is to be part of a body of Christ where God has undertaken that work in each and every one of our lives. And so how important it is for us to appreciate that we are part of this body. We are imperfect people, but God has done an amazing work in each one of our lives. He's begun an amazing work. Praise the Lord. So Yahweh Elohe, the Lord who is my God. And you have to demonstrate the Lord who is your God. And that's the basis of your ministry. Ministry just doesn't flow out of the flesh. It doesn't flow out of ambition. It doesn't flow out of desire. It doesn't even flow out of a calling. It flows out of the reality of God. Because when the reality of God opens inside of you, there is something you have that can be given. There's something that you have that is priceless. When you appreciate that and you see the effect it has on people's lives, then you realize you have something that is absolutely immeasurable. Praise the Lord. Yahweh Elohe. But God didn't just call us to be individuals in the body of Christ. He called us to be part of a body. He called us to be part of a communion. We all are standing here as a consequence of what others have done before us. All of us come from idol-worshipping nations. The two biggest idol-worshipping nations in the world are represented here very clearly. And it's amazing that we are sitting here in church and we are listening to the love of God. That given what our generations have done, that God would love us and give us an inheritance that would last forever is absolutely inconceivable, because we don't deserve to be here. Not one bit. But God's done a mighty miracle. God has raised up an heritage from the time of Adam and Eve, right? And brought it through our lives. So many have fallen by the wayside, but God has persevered and He has brought forth an inheritance. So out of the loins of Abraham came forth the seed of the Messiah. And today we stand as people who are blessed from the Gentile nations. God told Abraham, I will use you to bless the nations. Abraham didn't understand even how it would be. He just followed what God was doing. Today we see we stand at a point where we understand so many things that generations before us didn't really understand. But there was a core of people who believed God, even though they didn't understand what God was doing. The fact that we have the scriptures in our hands is a mighty miracle. So many people gave their lives so that you can and I can have the scriptures. Yet sometimes to buy a $200 study Bible, we quibble with it. Why is it so expensive? 200 bucks for the blood of so many thousands of people whom you don't even know. Jewish scribes who spent their lives copying painstakingly letter for letter of the scriptures, scroll upon scroll. If there was one mistake, they would destroy the whole scroll. And they spent generations did that kind of work. So many attempts were made to destroy this work that is in our hands. Today we have the scriptures in our hands. Many attempts have been made to destroy it. It has been preserved. People gave their life for it. So we are part of a communion. We are not superior to the generations that have gone before us. God has triumphed in spite of all the failures of man. And the triumph of God will be manifested in a bride for the Lamb. That bride is a body. Right? That bride is a body. That bride is described in very powerful terms in the book of Exodus, in the book of Ephesians, in the King James Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Now those letters, of that phrase, of his flesh and of his bones, is only found in the manuscripts from which the King James translation is made. And it tells us very powerfully, spiritually speaking, we are members one of another because we are of his flesh and of his bones. Are you with me? So that's why you cannot pay a price for what God has given you. You can only realize grace upon grace, the abundance that he has given you, of his flesh, the substance of the Master's fullness. Each one of us is a construct. And each one of us who are members one of another is responsible that each one of us is made as a full construct. We are responsible for each other's spiritual growth. We should encourage. We should speak right words into each other. Because God is Yahweh Elohim. He is not just my God. He is our God. And you can only appreciate and give honor to God my God when you can see God my God in somebody else's life. And therefore we build the body of Christ, not for our own glory, not so that people can say that we are spiritually superior to other people, but simply because of the privilege of being able to build something that will be the heart of all creation in all eternity. If you look at Revelation 21, you will see that God begins a new work with his universe from Revelation chapter 21. There is a new creation that is going to be manifested. And we are the peculiar people that God is raising to be able to stand as administrators in that new creation. Administrators meaning as kings, as priests, as prophets. The fact of us being able to encourage and to counsel and comfort each other and pray for each other is so crucial to the future that God has for us as a bride. Because you cannot be a bride as an individual. You have to learn how to be a bride as a collective body. You have to learn how to appreciate each other. So Jesus Christ, even as he goes to the cross, he prays that more than anything else. In John 17 again. John chapter 17. Verse 22 onwards. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. So the glory is manifested individually, but the purpose of the glory is so that we will become one together. Because there's no meaning to that glory if we do not become one together. If we keep on seeing each other through denominational eyes, we don't understand what Jesus Christ has done for us at the cross. That we may be one. Because us becoming one is what that glory was given for. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, truth, and forgiveness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him will have eternal life. So that collective reality of being part of that body is so important for us. Verse 23, I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity. So Yahweh Eloheinu is concerned with manifesting the glory of a unity in the body. A unity not out of flesh, a unity not out of the law, a unity brought forth in one flesh, the flesh of the Lamb. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me. Because for man to come together and be able to live together is actually an impossibility. It has never been achieved in the natural world. Even in individual families, at best it is superficial. So if we who have grown up together in the same family cannot be together in the long run, who else can be together? And so Jesus says here that we should be one as a body, and we need to be one as a body so that we can demonstrate that he has done an awesome work with us. So in pockets here and there, there is a genuine love for each other that is there as a first fruits in the body of Christ. It has to be developed, but it can't be developed in the flesh. It can only be developed by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. That the world may know that thou didst send me and didst love them even as thou didst love me. Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou didst love me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, and these have known that thou didst send me. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. Praise the Lord. As a church, as a ministry, we have to minister collectively. Somebody may be in the forefront, but we are all part of the same ministry. Can you see that? And if you are at the forefront, you must understand you are at the forefront because somebody is praying for you at the back. Otherwise, you would never have reached the forefront. It's all part of the mystery of the kingdom. That all things are built collectively. That's why you will find that God always gives us a selection of giftings so that we will depend on others. So often we just want to talk about ourselves because that is natural to us. But we must come into the appreciation of the collective. That if two can work as one, the glory will be so much greater. If three can work as one, the glory will be so much greater. The power that will flow will be so much greater. If we can come together as a larger body of Christ, the glory will be so much greater. So that's the reality of Yahweh Eloheinu, the Lord God who is our God. So as we come together to minister, to build the body of Christ, and that's very important to understand that. As we go into the next phase, the intent of ministry is to build the body of Christ. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. From verse 11 and 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So the whole body of Christ is meant to be in ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, that is for the building of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. See, the unity comes out of the faith. And faith is substance, and that substance is of Jesus Christ. Yeah? Any other kind of substance won't work. It has to be the substance of Jesus Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Why knowledge of the Son of God? Because the substance is of Him. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amazing. That the intent of ministry is to build a perfect man. Why a perfect man? Because this man is in a unity. One. Verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Edifying means building of itself in love. Praise the Lord. So as the reality of Yahweh Elohe is open to you, you realize the love of God for you. As you minister in that love, you realize that the love of God is for the body. As we build the body, that's the end purpose of the ministry, to build the body. It is not just to save people, it is to build the body that they may become one. Praise the Lord. So the ultimate purpose of salvation is so that we will become one body. A people who love. For you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All that doesn't come to us naturally. All that represents the supernatural work of God in our hearts. So as we close the series on unveiling the name of God, I hope you will take time to go through those names of God, because they are the basis for everything that will flow out of your life. And every one of those covenant names of God, God is building covenant with you. It is personal. Yahweh Elohinu says, it cannot remain just personal. It must become collective. Because if you don't appreciate the reality of the body of Christ, then we will perish. Yeah, because Lucifer was full of his own self. Okay, let's just finish by just looking at where this guy went wrong, right? God blessed him so tremendously, right? Isaiah chapter 14. From verse 12. The reason why this guy fell was because he was full of himself. Verse 12. And he was full of himself because he did not understand the love of God, neither did he want to understand it. So verse 12 says, Isaiah 14 verse 12, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. Verse 13, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. You see, it was all about I. I will ascend to heaven. Tremendous faith he had. It was based on himself. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I don't need God to do it. I will do it. Faith gone wrong. Faith that is being used for the glorification of self, for the deification of self. This is idolatry. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. So that's why the I has to be replaced by we. I mean, it's we, you won't have thoughts like this, that I will become like the Most High. I will make myself like the Most High. So God then says, nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Verse 19 at the end says, you will be like a trampled corpse. From covering cherub to trampled corpse, quite an achievement. From covering cherub to trampled corpse, quite an achievement. What a fool. That's why Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Lucifer saw God and said, there is no God. Why did he say, there is no God? Because he said, I can make myself like the Most High God. Can you see that? So that's where you realize the anointings all went wrong. Right? He was so impressed with himself and what he thought he was doing by himself. He only discovered how small he was when he and one third of the angels were thrown out at the speed of lightning. So Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Like lightning. That shows you how small he really was, isn't it? In the comparison to God. So as we close this series on the names of God, I hope you will refresh your witness with the revelations of the name of God, because everything flows out of that. If it doesn't flow out of the name of God, you're going to be in trouble. If you don't come to honor God, you're going to be in trouble. We need to honor God. It is the basis of our life. Because if you lose God, you have lost everything. There's nothing else left. Everything else will be pass away. It will just self-destruct. So as you minister, the idea of ministry is to reinforce the reality that God is your God, that what you are experiencing is Him moving through you, Him using you as His vessel. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your awesome name, Lord. You are the Most High God, Yahweh Elyon. And you have given us, O God, the secret place where we will discover you, O God, as the Most High. And that place has been birthed, O God, for us, under the shadow of the Almighty, El Shaddai. And in order to realize that position, Lord, you have unveiled your name to us as Yahweh Yireh. Through sacrifice in the gift of your Son, you have opened to us, O God, at this reality of being tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. In order to realize that position, you must be the shepherd who leads us. And so we need to have a witness of you, Lord, alive in our hearts, because you are Yahweh Rohai. We must be able to be sheep who hear your voice, who are able to respond, O God, to your heartbeat, Lord, who are able to respond, O God, to your purpose, that we will be able to distinguish between right and wrong. In order to enable us to hear and enable us to realize the high position you have called us, you are also Yahweh Rophe, the Lord God who is our healer. And you mean to heal us, O God, so that the poisoned waters within us will be clarified into sweetened waters, O God. So the waters of life are meant to flow into us and to flow out of us, Lord. And that is the healing and deliverance that you mean to do by name. You are Yahweh Nisi. You mean to manifest in us, O God, the reality that we are a people at war. That we war against evil, Father. We war against all that represents evil. Not in a fleshly sense to be war, but we war in the spirit, Lord. We war against principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. And you have taken an oath, O God, that you will destroy the works of the enemy through each and every one of our lives. And we thank you that in that reality, we realize, oh God, that truly, Lord, you have called us to stand in high places, Lord, to proclaim, oh God, that you are God, to declare that you are our God, that is our highest purpose, Lord, to proclaim the wonder of you, to proclaim the glory of you. In order to achieve that, Lord, you are also called Yahweh Mekadesh, the Lord God who sanctifies us and brings us into a Sabbath rest so that we can rest in the glory of who you are. So that instead of striving for things in our flesh, we can rest in you and realize the glory of your greatness, Lord. You are Yahweh Shalom. When we have realized your rest, we will come into a peace, Lord. And that peace of Yahweh Shalom, O God, is the reality of your victory established in our lives, brought to fulfillment in our lives. There are many levels of peace for us, O God, but we thank you for what has been achieved in us at this point. And we're looking forward, O God, to the greater levels of peace that you mean to manifest in us. Because that peace is a covenant of peace. And that covenant of peace declares that you are our righteousness, Yahweh Sidkenu. That what we have within us is an achievement that you have brought into our lives. And we thank you that when we realize that we are your handiwork, we come into the reality that you are Yahweh Shammah, that you are always there. That we are alive to you at all times, in conscious terms, in subconscious terms, and in unconscious terms. Because you have created us to always be alive to you, Lord. That is your purpose with us. And that's when we begin to understand that you are Yahweh Eloheinu. You are Yahweh Hoshenu, the Lord God who is our maker. And you mean to make us stand in the place that you have for us. You mean to make us, O God, stand where you have ordained us to stand. We are the product of your handiwork. So Father God, we want to thank you that you have chosen to be our God. That Lord, the whole scripture is written so that you can reveal yourself to us as Yahweh Elohika. I am the Lord thy God. Today we have looked at the reality that you are the Lord who has revealed himself to us. And you mean to reveal yourself to us in a personal sense. And that comes to us in the reality of the name Yahweh Elohe. And as we realize the awesomeness of who you are in a personal sense, you also remind us, Lord, that we are part of a body. That it is our purpose to build the body, Lord. And in that reality of building the body, we will one day become a bride for the Lamb, having the glory of God. And that reality will stand as Yahweh Eloheinu. So Yahweh Adonai, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise. We bless you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we bless you. For all that you have given us in Jesus Christ. For all that the Holy Spirit is attempting to bring forth in our lives. Father, we thank you that you are Abba Father, our God forevermore. In Jesus' name we bless you. Amen.